I want to welcome the congregation to our carol service tonight in the Saviour's precious name. And as we come to worship the Lord, and we'll keep our seats for the singing of these hymns, these praises, we're going to sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See Thee Lie. So there's a couple of verses of a few of these very well-known hymns that we sing, usually at this time of the year. We'll sing with our masks on. Sent from the Father above. Holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Thank you.
one more, once in royal David's city, stood a lowly cattle shed. Bow together in prayer, and our student assistant, Mr. Simon Anderson, who's visiting with us tonight with his family, is going to lead us to the throne of grace. Thank you.
Good evening. It's a joy to be with you tonight. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer at the outset of our carol service. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we come to thee at the commencement of this another service on this the evening of thy day. We praise thee and thank thee, Lord, for the joy and the privilege that is ours to be found out even in thy house tonight, to come and together around thy feet, a fellowship one with the other, those of like precious faith. We praise thee and thank thee, Lord, for the access that we have even to thee in and through the precious shed blood of our Saviour. We thank thee for Christ, that one that was born in Bethlehem, in the manger all those years ago, who grew up, who lived that perfect life, died that perfect death, that we might be redeemed. And Father, we just come to thee tonight, and we spread this meeting out before thee, all that will take part tonight. We pray you'll bless each and every one. We thank thee, Lord, for the hymns that have been sang already tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for the truths contained therein. A little later, as Mr. Park will come and even minister God's word, we pray you'll give him help. Even from the very sanctuary of heaven, we pray. O Lord, we thank thee and praise thee for all that thou dost mean to us. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for that greatest gift of all. Thanks be unto God for that unspeakable gift. And Lord, we just rejoice tonight in the work of the Incarnation. We thank thee, Lord, for the virgin birth. Oh, so many would seek to rationalize and to take it from us and remove that wonderful foundation from our faith. But Lord, we rejoice in knowing that thou art the great foundation of our faith. And Lord, that we can look to thee. And Lord, that thou dost come even into this world with that one purpose, with that single mind, to come and to redeem a people to thyself. And Father, we pray tonight, if there be any in this gathering that know not thee as Lord and Saviour, that Father, that thou will even awaken them from their sleep of death. Thou wilt be pleased to draw them lovingly unto thyself, whom to know is life eternal. Father, we're mindful tonight of those of our missionaries that are far from home, even at this Christmas period. We pray you'll be especially near unto them. We even think tonight of Alejandro and Vanessa and the children out there in Spain. Lord, we pray you'll bless them. You'll encourage them there even as they celebrate their first Christmas out there in Cortegos Nuevas. Lord, we pray you'll bless them as a family, as they seek to serve thee, as they seek to gain ground for thee out there and take it from the enemy. We pray you'll cover them with thy precious blood. Lead them on with thyself, we pray of thee. We think of Noreen there in Uganda also. Bless her there. Minister to her and through her, help her as she labours there even and prepares and works with the school out there. Oh, Father, we think of our missionaries in general. We think even of our sister Joanne Greer tonight in Liberia and our brother DeCanny. Oh, Lord, thou knowest each one by name, even though the missionary cause is near to the heart of the congregation here in Pakistan and India. Oh, Lord, we pray you'll even be pleased to grant fruit for the labours, for the efforts there is in the progress, the progression of the gospel as thy word is presented and put forth even week by week. And even as there's efforts made, we think even of those orphan children. We pray, Lord, even as they are fed, Lord, that they'll realise that this physical food as they receive, Lord, it is from the hand of God. And Lord, you'll even be pleased to work in hearts and save precious boys and girls, we pray of thee. We think of the congregation here, those that are sick at this time and unwell. We are not unmindful of our brother Greg at this time. We pray you'll even be pleased to perfect that which concerneth him. Draw especially nigh to him even at this time. Others, Lord, known to thee. We lift them each one up before thee, perhaps listening online tonight. We pray you'll bless them even in their home as they listen into this service tonight. We think of those that have been bereaved even in this past year. We pray you'll draw alongside them in a special way at this Christmas time. You'll pour in the oil of joy for mourning. Oh Lord, you'll minister to their hearts, we pray of thee. Oh Father, we bless thee. We bless thy name. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou dost mean to us. We pray for our land even at this time as we face into another lockdown. We praise thee, Lord, that thou art not locked down or thou art not locked away. But, Father, we can call upon thee at any time, at any place. And therefore, Lord, we pray you'll help us each one as we face into this days that lie ahead, these days that lie ahead. We think of those in business, those perhaps that are experiencing difficult times, those isolating on their own. We pray you'll even encourage them, we pray. And make us, Lord, a blessing in these days as a people of God, one to the other, we pray. O Lord, come and do our hearts good now and continue on with us in this carol service as we seek to magnify and glorify thy name tonight. O Lord, our heart's desire surely is that thy name will be uplifted, that the saints of God will be edified, and that thou will draw the lost even unto thyself tonight. Bless us now, we pray, and continue with us. For it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen.
We appreciate we're operating under strange circumstances in these days of COVID-19. But we do have a program tonight that we want to go through, a short program with you. One is a pre-recorded singing piece tonight from our school, and then the rest will be done live at the various mics that are here. So that I don't have to get up and down like a yo-yo, I'm going to just mention what's going to happen, and you can sit back and listen as we worship the Lord together. So first of all, we will have singing from our school, the Ballymoney Independent Christian School. This is a pre-recording that we hope comes together with our technology. And just after that, our sister, Mrs. Julie Boyd, she'll say something on behalf of the Christian School. Then we have a scripture reading, Jonathan Ray. We have a trio, Jake Rubin and Charlie Borland. And then we have another scripture reading, Kerry Halliday. And then we have the fiddle, or the fiddles. And it's a recital and singing, Naomi and Jemima Anderson. And their mother is going to accompany them on the piano. We have another scripture reading, Aaron Galt. And then our pianist is going to do a piano recital. So that's the program. I think everybody knows where they are in the program. And we'll just ask now for the school choir to sing as we watch it on the screen. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you got to see them eventually. But those were our P1, 2 and 3 pupils, and they did very well. That was recorded just over a week ago as part of our virtual choral service. And didn't you do well, Seth? You did. You were doing great, and they sang really well. That would be called Mrs. Murr's class. And for those boys and girls, when they come back to school in the new year, whenever that might be, things will be a wee bit different for them, because Mrs. Murr, as you know, will not be with us. I'm sure you're aware there's exciting times ahead for Lydia, for Ryan, and for their families. And she finished with us on school on Friday, but we couldn't let tonight go past without publicly, just on behalf of our school, and I know some of our families are tuned in and listening tonight, and on behalf of the school management committee as well, just to make a wee presentation to Lydia. And Lydia knows she's going to be missed. She's going to be really be missed by the children that know and love her so much. And missed by me. Anybody that knows Lydia knows that she can turn her hand to anything. She always gives her best, and she goes above and beyond so many times in the work of the school. But we're excited. We're looking forward to meeting the new arrival in due course. And there's exciting times ahead, and we're looking forward to all those things with her in the future. But Lydia, I'm sure you're just dying to come up, if you wouldn't mind. It's just a wee thing to give you. Behalf of us all, God bless you and Ryan in the days ahead. All right, thank you.
Our first scripture reading tonight is taken from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and the verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men.
taken from Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at the verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen.
Thank you.
kind of coming together there at the end. I want to thank all who have taken part this evening. Really appreciate your willingness to do it. I'm sure it was willing. For those who read the scripture, for those who sang, and for those who played the violins beautifully. And, of course, for our pianists, thank you, Diane. I don't know whether they have pianos in heaven, but if they do, I'm going to play like that. I'm going to have to wait until I go to glory, though. We do appreciate all that our pianists and our organists do through the year. Now we're going to sing What Child Is This Who Laid to Rest. It should be up on the screen for you. If not, it's going to be a solo. We don't want that. Amen. Tell me the old story. Tell me the story of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. time's marching on, so I'll make the announcements quickly tonight. First of all, we bid you welcome in the Saviour's name. Good to have the new Mr. and Mrs. Hepburn with us this evening, Reuben and Charlotte. And we trust that you'll be blessed as you come here to Hebron this evening and be part of the congregation tonight. And those that are listening in on Sermon Audio and Facebook, welcome to you also. We have our prayer meeting tomorrow night because of the Christmas holidays, so we're bringing it forward from Thursday night to Monday night, 8 o'clock. Worship service next Lord's Day. Mr. Greg Gibson will be the preacher. The gospel service at 6:30. Please note the time, half an hour earlier, because of the curfew that the government are bringing in. And Mr. Simon Anderson will be the preacher. I'll be here to lead both services in the will of God. The watch night service will be different. We can't have it now because of the lateness of the hour. But we will have an end-of-year fellowship service on the final day of the year, and that is our prayer meeting night on the 31st of December. And again, we will meet at 6:30. The service will begin with a short time of prayer, followed by a testimony time and short message. Then on the Lord's Day, the 3rd of January, worship service 12 noon, we'll bring the motto text. That'll be followed by the Lord's table. And as we said this morning, anyone seeking membership of the church should see me as soon as possible. Let me also announce that the annual Missionary Weekend Conference will be in April. That's the plan. We have to postpone it until then. So that's the first in, 50-odd years. We thank you for your tithes and offerings that you've given to the work and your Missionary Covenant support. Let me remind you, the prayer calendars are available for 2021 on behalf of the Missionary Council. Let the Bible Speak quarterly is available, and we do want you on the table there to receive a Christmas card from the Park family. There are also cards from Deborah House to the supporters, and from our sister Noreen McAfee to the supporters. There's a few books left of the 100 days of lockdown. If you didn't get one and you want one, you can get it tonight before you leave. Now we're going to sing just two verses of the hymn 89, My Lord, His Garments So Wondrous Fine, and Mirth Their Texture Fills, Out of the Ivory Palaces. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Going to commend to you verse 26 through to verse 38. We'll not take time to read these verses. But this is the connection of what we're going to say tonight. And we will be referring to some of these verses through the little message that we want to bring to you. But what I want to do is to give you my text, and I want to speak tonight on the greatest miracle ever in the history of this entire world. And I direct your attention to verse 31 and also in verse 35. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Gabriel is the messenger, this celestial being of the presence of God. We only read about him twice in the scriptures. First of all, in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, where he comes to interpret dreams by Daniel. And then in the New Testament, to Zechariah, informing him of the birth of his son, John the Baptist, and then on to Mary, where he brings the news of Christ's conception and birth. It is called the Annunciation to Mary, as we have it here in Luke chapter 1. He was sent by God to earth on one of the most important and thrilling missions that any angel could ever go on, and that was to announce the birth of Christ. He begins with a salutation that highlights Mary's character and her privileges. Look at verse 28. "The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And you notice the language that the angel uses. Mary is highly favored, and that was undoubtedly so. Highly favored to be the chosen vessel to bring the Son of God into this world. Also, the Lord is with thee. And what a blessed and exceeding high honor this was to know the presence of God. And Mary knew that through her life, and she certainly knew it in these days and in the days that lay ahead as the Lord Jesus would come forth. And she was blessed among women, not above women, but among the women of this earth. Now the sight and the sudden appearance of the angel startled Mary and made her afraid and apprehensive. You can imagine how that would happen. But the angel immediately dispels her anxieties and says, "Fear not," in verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Gabriel had come to make the greatest announcement in the history of this world, the greatest announcement that could ever be made. Verse 31, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And I'm putting it to you in this meeting tonight that this is the greatest miracle of all time, being announced and proclaimed by the angel Gabriel that Mary was going to conceive in her womb a baby, and this would be no ordinary baby. Indeed, he shall be called, as verse 32 tells us, the Son of the Highest, pointing to the deity of this child, the fact that this little one would be God manifested in human flesh. Here's the incarnation, the moment of all moments being announced, that deity would join itself to our humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. Two natures in one person. Now you've got to try in some measure to take this in. You've got to understand this in some small fashion. It is a truth that is easier to accept by simple faith than to fully and properly comprehend its miraculous reality. Praise God, there was a day when this happened, when the Word, as John put it, who was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. The miracle of all miracles. Now I stand in awe when I contemplate the creation of the heavens and the earth and all that is within them. When God in 6 literal days called this entire universe into existence, and the calling of this universe into existence out of nothing at the beginning of time was a most stupendous miracle. The making of the world, the forming of the seas and the land, the planting of all vegetation and plant life, the bringing forth of all creatures in the sea, in the sky and land, and the making of God's special creation, man in his own image. And these are undoubtedly exceeding and great wonderful miracles. You remember the stars? We've referred to this before. And he made the stars also, just like something that was incidental. But God did it with his own divine omnipotent power. Oh, the miracle of creation. When Joshua commanded the sun to stand still, who had ever heard the like of this before or after? Joshua had no idea that his command slowed down 6.66 trillion tons of spinning gas and plasma to give Israel victory over her enemies. But God Almighty was working out a miracle with his own divine omnipotent power. When the Shunammite's son died with a head injury, and Elijah is sent for, and he took the lad up to the room, he got before the Lord and prayed, and God answered his cry. We read that the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. A great miracle. When Jesus commanded the unclean spirits to depart, when he stilled the raging sea, when he touched the eyes of the blind, when he commanded Lazarus to come forth in whose body corruption had already commenced, it was indeed a most powerful and stupendous miracle. What can we say about the saving of a soul? When life is given to a soul dead in trespasses and sins, when that soul is regenerated by the power of God and that person is saved by the grace of God. What a miracle that is. It took a miracle to put the stars in space. It took a miracle to hang the sun in place. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. But by far the greatest miracle of all is the one that I'm talking about tonight, the incarnation. When God became man and he dwelt among us. And just at the close of this service, I want to speak about this greatest miracle. I want to think about the plan of this miracle. Here is something that was ordained from the foundation of the world, decreed in the great councils of eternity, proposed in the mind of God from all eternity, formulated in a heart of divine love, mercy, and compassion before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame. Gabriel was only announcing that which God had ordained from the beginning. And Peter wrote about the redemptive work of Christ, which of course necessitated Christ coming into the world in the fullness of time. He declared in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And Christ, John tells us in Revelation 13 and 8, was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And come with me to the great councils of eternity, where God in Trinity and God in unity sits together, and they so plan the coming of Christ into the world, the second person of the glorious Trinity, this miracle of all miracles. That's why at the beginning, 4,000 years before the incarnation, when Adam and Eve sinned, that God was able to give the proto-evangel, the very first promise of a Savior, Genesis 3 and 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And down through the centuries of church history, the prophets were able to foretell the coming Messiah, the Savior who would descend into the womb of a virgin, would grow up as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground in the years of obscurity, and eventually go all the way to the cross, where he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and purchase eternal salvation on behalf of his people. The plan of this miracle. Then I want you to think about the proclamation of this miracle. Here, Gabriel is sent by God on this errand to announce to Mary that she would conceive in her womb a child and bring forth a son who would be called Jesus. And then we have all the details announced concerning this miraculous person. In verses 32 and 33, he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now we understand the perplexity of this news. How Mary must in some measure be alarmed that she, a holy young virgin, would have a baby. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel was able to tell her how this would come to pass in verse 35. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The fact of the matter is, as we read in verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. And Mary submitted entirely to the revealed will of God, as we read in verse 38. She said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And then notice the purpose of this miracle. Why did Jesus come? Why did he enter this old world? Why did he leave the lofty heights of heaven's splendor? Why did he descend into the womb of a woman? Why did his deity join to our humanity? Why did he take unto himself a human body? There was no other reason but redemption. This was God's mighty purpose in Christ, to reconcile unto himself sinful men, to bring many sons to glory, to open heaven's door and shut hell's gate, to purchase eternal redemption for his people. Gabriel said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus," and you know the word Jesus means Savior. That's what the Lord came to do, to be the Savior of men, to redeem us from our sin. He's the Savior of the world, the only Savior. There's none other. God the Son, in the miracle of the incarnation, he took to himself a human body for the purpose of going all the way to yonder cross at Calvary to die for us. Come with me and stand with the weeping women on the hill called Golgotha. See there, stretched upon that old Roman cross, the body of a man, the God-man. He has been nailed hand and foot and lifted up to die. He suffers real physical bodily pain, much more than the other two. At Pilate's judgment hall, he had already been whipped and beaten and crowned with thorns which pierced his brow. And now he's undergoing the awful death of the cross. The torment is unimaginable. Christ felt every pain. He endured all this agony for you and me, for he's dying in our stead as our substitute, fully taking our place there upon the cross. The wrath of a holy God against sin is poured out without measure as Jesus bears the punishment for sin, your sin, my sin. Do you understand the purpose of this miracle? Do you understand tonight why God took upon himself the body of a man. Why, deity joined to our humanity. The great purpose is seen here in the climax of Christ coming into the world to die, the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. And I want you to grasp this tonight. I do not want you to live another moment in this meeting this evening without giving some attention and consideration to this great eternal purpose that Jesus, of whom the angel Gabriel speaks, was born to die, and so die for you and me, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. He took my sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. That's the purpose of the miracle. And then there's one other thought, the procurement of this miracle. What did the joining of deity and humanity procure? What did the incarnation obtain? What did the descent of the Son of the Highest into the womb of a virgin accomplish? I'll tell you tonight, everlasting life for poor sinners. Christ came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to purchase salvation for lost sinners on the road to hell. Oh, my dear friends, in this meeting tonight, I want you to know that there is forgiveness because of this great miracle. There is pardon and peace. There's reconciliation to an offended God. There is deliverance. There is cleansing in his precious blood. And there's heaven. Heaven at the end of the journey for those who come to trust in his redeeming blood. This great miracle of God becoming man has opened up entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. But you must come. You must come to Christ. We could say that there is the possession of this miracle. You can possess this miracle. You can possess Christ as your personal Savior. But you need to come to him. You saved tonight? Are you a Christian? This time of the year when the incarnation is so much upon our minds and hearts, the fact that Christ came. Do you know him? Has your sins been put away? Have you received Christ into your heart and life as your Redeemer? If not, why not tonight at this special service? Trust in him. Come to him and come right now without delay. This will be the best Christmas you ever had. As you turn to Christ and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. Let us bow together in prayer. I will bless thee tonight for this great miracle. No greater miracle than this, than God had a plan to send his Son to redeem us from our sin. We thank thee, Lord, for the miracle of the conception of Christ in the womb of the Virgin Mary. When God planted his own deity within her womb. And at the fullness of time, this babe was born. Born to be our Redeemer, our Savior, in the great purpose of God. Lord, we pray that such things will be uppermost in our minds right now. And even over the next number of days. I want to thank thee, those of us who know Christ, for redeeming love and redeeming mercy. We just pray that you will bless your word to the hearts of those who have listened. And glorify thine own dear Son, bring sinners to Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. We have one final thing to do tonight, and that is to give to our children. There'll be selection boxes. Wesley, our superintendent, is all ready to do that. He's got his mask on. He'll have gloves on. That's a great difficulty for him. It's kind of a miracle because he can't get gloves to fit his hands. His hands are big. But he's going to do this safely. We want the children to line up. Samuel might be able to direct them section by section, whatever, keep them distanced. And then Wesley will close in prayer. Where is Wesley? Can't see him with his mask on. Thank you very much.
Usually at our Christmas party, we had a big stout man came with a big red coat on and a beard, and he helped us give out the selection boxes. But tonight, I've no beard, I've just got a mask, I've no red coat, I've got these gloves, which I hope I can get on. So we're going to ask the boys and girls just to come up and get this trolley over here. Santa did leave us his sleigh, you see. So all the boys and girls of our Sunday school and any other children that are here, start and just make your way up. There you go. Happy Christmas. There we go. Well done, boys. I think you boys deserve two of these, don't you, for singing so well tonight. Oh, there we go. Cassia, Susanna, there we go. Sophie, well done. Seth, you take one for Edie. Ezra, too, will you? Your sister's too shy to come up, are they? You better take ones for them then too. Can you carry all those? Good man. There we are.
Thank you.
There you go. I see some people down there, Samuel. See, there's some Sunday school people down there. Oh, you need to. If they don't come, then I'll have to go to them. Let me see. And embarrass them all, would that do? There we go. And there's ones over. There's lots of people I know that would like a selection box, but they're just a wee bit shy. Let's see, who missed out? I'm going to throw them at you. That's these old slappy gloves for you. Is that yours? Jed, you would eat one, wouldn't you? There's two there. Come on. I think that's everybody. If it's not, well, that's because you're too shy. Naomi, need one for Naomi, sitting right in front of us. Okay, and for the boys and girls who are not able to be with us tonight, you'll get a selection box or some left whenever we start back to Sunday school, and hopefully we'll see you all back in the new year. Let's all bow our heads and come to the Lord in prayer just as we come to the end of our service tonight. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we bow humbly before Thee this evening at the end of our choral service, and we give thee thanks for this time that we've been able to meet together to worship and to praise thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the praises that we've been able to sing together to thee tonight. We thank thee for the scripture that was read to us concerning the birth of our Saviour. The Lord, we thank thee for the pieces that were sang both here in the church and those that were pre-recorded. We thank thee for the instrumental pieces that were played as well. And, O Lord, we give thee thanks for the preaching of thy precious word tonight and for the clear message of the gospel that it contained. But Lord, above all this, Lord, we thank thee for the miracle of the incarnation. We thank thee that God became man. O Lord, we thank thee tonight for the love that brought thee out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe. O Lord, we thank thee for the love that took thee to the cross where you died for our sins. O Lord, as we think of these things tonight, we thank thee for thy so great salvation. And Lord, surely we can say, hallelujah, what a Saviour. O Lord, we know that there may be those who are gathered with us here tonight, or perhaps those who are watching this service via the internet, and Lord, as yet they haven't trusted thee. And while they celebrate the birth of a Saviour, Lord, you're not their Saviour. O Lord, we just pray that even over this Christmas time, as we meet together in our homes as families, Lord, that each family represented here will know the joy of household salvation. Lord, that you will draw those who still don't know thee unto thyself. So, Lord, we just pray now that as we go our separate ways, that thou wilt be with each family, that thou wilt give to all our homes a blessed and a peaceful Christmas. For we ask it for thy name's sake. Amen. Let you know row by row when you can go. Okay.